following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Thursday, and glad that you're along with us. Cruise night underway, Adams County Fair underway, lots of things going on. Hope everybody enjoyed their concerts last night. More going on tonight at the fair. Ton of people are headed to Pinnacle Bank, see Kenny Chesney. That's right. There's not a whole lot of sports to talk about, so I had to brush up on my entertainment news, Jimmy.
Is that right? There's a golf tournament that's on TV.
You know, and we'll talk about the British Open here, and I remind you that Minnesota is our Big Ten football preview today, so we'll talk about the Gophers who have went from gutter to the next, maybe a couple more steps, obviously, bowl eligibility and just not quite to contending for the Big Ten West title, and we'll talk about that today. But the British Open, I was thinking this morning, is there another golf tournament? Doesn't even have to be a major. I don't think there's any other golf tournament that luck is as involved as much as the British Open on a variety of factors. The way the ball bounces, does it roll along the side of a pot bunker, or does it roll in the pot bunker and you have to chip out and there's an automatic shot you're going to lose to the field? Weather. We're seeing that today. It's not horrible, but the wind is kicked up for the guys playing the later tee times today, and it affects the golf course. It was a lot easier this morning, and when I got here and looked at the leaderboard at 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, I mean, these guys are already deep under par, 4 and 5 under. They get to 6 and 7 under. And for a moment there, it looked like it could get real exciting. Jordan Spieth was 5 under through 7 holes. But then as we found out, that's kind of how everybody started today. That was red hot. Got 5 under on the front 9. And then the back nine was really, really tough. In fact, Spieth had to birdie the 18th hole to finish at 5-under. Dustin Johnson, 7-under. Jimmy, we're going to see the same guys battling on Sunday that we saw a month ago at the U.S. Open?
I hope not. For financial reasons, too. But, you know, for 2 weeks, you know, or 3 weeks in a row, the top players have been there. I mean, you know, the top 7 or 8 guys have been in the top 4, you know. So I mean, it's been kind of amazing that way. Did you play anybody, Doug,
no,
yourself?
No.
I got Zach Johnson. He's 6 under going into the 14th hole. I mean, that's a nice play.
We had a little chat yesterday after our day of work, and we were talking about who we should get. I can tell you that I'm glad, because I would have put some on Victor Dubuisson, who was like 2 over. Yeah. Hardly anybody's over par, but he's one of them. When you look at the leaderboard, any of the new guy happy? You know, it's cool. You know, Retief Goosen is up there. A couple of names. There's a couple of amateurs that shot really, really well, better than usual. There's always, like we talked about with Alex Myers of Golf Digest earlier in the week, there's always somebody you've never heard of that hangs around all weekend. Usually that's never an amateur. And Nick Faldo is playing his final British Open. It's probably the final one for Tom Watson, especially the way he shot today. And I guess Nick Faldo never was a fan of Tiger Woods from day one. Tiger, then, of course, if you're not in his corner, then you're never going to be in his corner. And I think today maybe Tiger should appreciate that Nick Faldo is playing, because at least that's one other person that will be behind him after the end of the day.
Yeah, one time he'd only beaten two guys. Of course, you got the updates, so I haven't looked at things for probably an hour and a half. I take guys that can't even pronounce their last name. You know, so
are you going off advice from the analysts, or are you just picking them out of a hat?
No, okay. I listen to some analysts.
If you'd like to be on the program today, 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. That's the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. You can also email us, as always, to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Glad to have you along on today's program. You can also tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550 at ESPN 1460 and 1550 if you'd like to be on today's program. The storm, as we announced yesterday with Kirk Brooks and Bill McCault, Jared Shaffron, we knew that their home opener, their start to the season, will be on September the 25th against Omaha. The USHL has now released the entire schedule for the upcoming season. And for the Tri-City Storm, they will have plenty of games, 60 of them, as always, kicking off the season with Omaha. They'll have 8 games against Lincoln and Omaha. They'll host Eastern Conference foes Cedar Rapids, Bloomington, Dubuque, Madison, and the USA under-18 team. They'll also travel to Muskegon and Green Bay for the first time since 2012. The USHL also announced preseason games for all teams in lieu of the Fall Classic. We had talked about that with former coach Holton a couple of months ago, that they were not going to play the Fall Classic in Sioux Falls. Tri-City will be in a regional preseason event in Lincoln with the Stars, Omaha Lancers, and Des Moines Buccaneers on September 17th and 18th, so just a week before the regular season. And then at the conclusion of the regular season, the top four teams in each conference will qualify for the Clark Cup, so all three rounds will follow the best-of-five format. No changing there. As we joked yesterday, scheduling and playoffs and rules changed like every 6 months, like during the season when the Storm first got things underway. And Stormy's 16th birthday will be on December the 12th against Bloomington, and that is a Saturday afternoon game. So that'll be a 3:05, and we'll have more for you here in just a moment.
Speaking of birthdays, Doug, wish my mom happy birthday today, would you?
Happy birthday, Jim Langan's mom.
There you go.
57? 58?
That'd be me.
Everything good
on the
mom front?
She's 7 dozen. I'm not going to be able to give you the exact age, but if you can do the math, she's 7 dozen.
So are you a flower guy, guy?
Flowers and supper.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. My sister's back, too, so it's a pretty good deal.
So a little family time
tonight.
Yeah,
big time, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Remember, town's going to be busy. It's going to be busy around here.
Yeah,
so plan accordingly.
Yeah, we won't do much.
Folks, if you'd like to join us, love to hear from you, and we'll keep you up to date on what's going on at the British Open. They're also continuing to play golf out at Kimball, the Nebraska amateur boys and girls. The girls played 36 holes, wrapped up yesterday. The same names at the top. Hannah Teal wins it for the second straight year over sister Haley. She was behind going into the day, but shot 5 shots better than Haley, wins it by 2. And then their cousin Morgan Teal of Kearney finished in 4th after shooting 79 yesterday. Brandi Lemick of Donovan finished in a tie for 8th. And then Danica Badura of Aurora finished in 14th. For the boys, they played 36 holes so far, and then the final 18 today. Used to be from Kearney, now lives in Scottsbluff. Coy Potoff is your leader. He shot even par both days, and so he has a one-shot lead over 3 others, including the first-round leader Nolan Mashka, the defending champion Alex Shockey, who shot 69 yesterday, and Luke Janning. They are all from Omaha. Noah Hoffman, who made noise in the high school state tournament from McCook, he sets in 5th place, 5 shots off the lead. Hebron's Jay Cottom tied for 7th, and Grand Island's Ishan Sood battled back with a 76 yesterday, and he is tied tied for 22nd for the golfers from our listening area there in the top 20-25. So there's some info for you on that, and we'll have complete results when they wrap up a little bit later on this afternoon. Also, the Nebraska State Little League Tournament is today. This is the beginning of trying to make it to the Little League World Series. There are six teams that play. They had districts last week, and it shows still that Little League is not big in the state of Nebraska. It's big in the Tri-Cities, but they played two games, and if you finished in the top two out of the three or four teams that were in your district, you advanced to state, and there are six teams remaining. Kearney will play Norfolk at 4 o'clock. Hastings will play Hillside, and I have no idea who.
Omaha.
Okay, Hillside's from Omaha, and Blair plays Memorial.
Not for sure.
I don't know where Memorial's from.
Not for sure where Memorial's from.
So that's tonight at 8, and then the tournament continues through Sunday in Blair, and then the winner will head off to Indianapolis where the Midwest Regional is with the Dakotas and Missouri and Kansas and Iowa for the right to go on to Indianapolis. So we'll keep you up to date on how they're doing as well. One more day off in American Legion baseball. All of the seniors A, B, and C and the junior A will begin their tournaments tomorrow, and then things will continue through the weekend. State juniors for classes B and C will get underway on Saturday. Class B is in Bennington. As we told you yesterday, Holdridge will have the first game against Omaha Roncalli at 10 a.m. And then Class C will be held in Dodge. And Alma among the teams there, they'll play Arlington at 5 o'clock on Saturday. So there you go. Memorial also Omaha. Producer Caleb on top of that for you. So there you go. We will take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, but let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. After Forbes released their latest list of the world's most valuable sports teams, which of the top four would you rather own? And as I kind of figured, our listeners, although they may pay attention to soccer, they did not vote for soccer. Two of the top four franchises in the world are Real Madrid and Barcelona. No votes for them. Only a couple Yankee fans voted, 11% there and 89% for the Dallas Cowboys. And I didn't even vote yesterday, just on air.
There you go. There had been 90 to 10.
I took the Cowboys. Who are you taking to win the British Open? It's underway. Jordan Spieth or the field? You always take the field.
Yeah, for sure. On that, if that was the choice.
Are you rooting for Jordan Spieth or the field? I'm rooting for Jordan Spieth.
I'll be for Jordan Spieth unless it's
one of your guys,
Schwartzel or Berger. If that Berger kid could win that thing, that'd be really amazing. I mean, I may not show up for work Monday.
Vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. I caught the highlights of the ESPYs. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back, including Minnesota towards the bottom of the hour. We'll head off on our Big Ten preview today. Stay with us.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with some sunshine across the area as we continue through the day today with a high around 93. Southwest winds, meanwhile, stay at about 5 to 10. Then with clear skies tonight, we'll head down to 67. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 81.
We went to class just to pass the time. Back in 89, we had a keg in the closet, pizza on the floor.
Doug and Eddie Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A guy that was right there in all the majors last year, Ricky Fowler, having a little rough start today, but he's playing with Faldo, right? I mean, again, we going in, you know you're going to play with a hack. So, I mean, it's like Oosthuizen had to play with Tiger again. He had to play with him the first two rounds of the U.S. Open. He doesn't play with him in there. He wins that tournament. I mean, that's I believe that. I mean, yes, it's a little far-fetched, but he's not playing with Hack 1 and Hack 2, Fowler and Woods, on the first 2 days where they all shoot that, what was that, a combined 28 over on the opening day. So Fowler not getting the best of draws. And they feed off each other. Spieth and Johnson playing well, you feed off each other. You're hitting the ball in kind of the same area. You're knowing where to put the ball, and you're getting some good – I mean, it's just a good vibe.
Hey, yeah, you could be right. I mean, I'm not saying – you're 100% correct, but I think there's a certain amount of that that is correct. You know, when your guys hit the ball and they think, hey, that's a good place to hit it, and you're thinking, hey, maybe I'll hit it there. You know, maybe you were planning on hitting it, you know, 30 feet left of the green, and then after you watch his ball hit the green, you're going, whoa, that kind of rolled right up there nice. Maybe I'll, you know, so I understand what you're saying there. You can feed off that, and you can gain maybe a stroke or two.
And Zach Johnson, of all the guys that are on the course, he has the best score, 6 under, 1 shot back. Then you got Danny Willett, 5 under, had a great amateur career, and he is through 14 holes. But there aren't a lot of guys that are off to really great starts. I mean, Justin Rose, one of the later ones to go off, give him credit, 4 under through 9. John Daly, 3 under today through his 10 holes, and then a bogey in there, and he's still 3 under through 15. But won it 20 years ago at the British Open, and so we'll see.
Yeah, if he could just stay 2 under and make it, he'll definitely get some interviews. Yeah, he is a fun guy to talk to.
Well, folks, don't forget that the Alzheimer's Walk for Kearney is coming up in August, but we are getting ready for that, and we need your pledges. And it's not joking. I don't want to say don't forget about being in Alzheimer's, because Alzheimer's affects a lot of folks, but we tend to, oh, it's not till August, it's not till September. Don't put it off. Take care of it right now. We'd love to have you be part of the Doug and Daddy team or any team. You may already have some folks that you know or you're working with that you'd like to be a part of their team. Find out about all the information that you need for the Alzheimer's Walk and how to pledge to the Alzheimer's Association or even to our Doug and Daddy team with all the money going to Alzheimer's. Go to our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. We have the Alzheimer's Walk banner that rolls through there. Just click on it and look at the Kearney Walk information. If you want to donate to my team, it's the Doug and Daddy Show team. Any size pledge helps to end Alzheimer's, and we'll be talking more about that as we get a little closer, but you can find out information now at ESPNSuperstation.com. As we look at the complete Tri-City Storm schedule that was just released within the last hour here, as we know and talked about yesterday, the home game, the season opener, Friday, September 25th versus Omaha, and then they're off Saturday. And then it's basically every Friday and Saturday throughout the rest of the year. They'll go to Chicago, then they're home for four, and there's just back and forth. Is there any really long road trip? They'll come back December 12th, as we talked about, Stormy's birthday, and then they won't play another home game until January the 3rd, which is on a Sunday this year. And in case, folks, you didn't know, just to kind of remind you, as we're about 6 months away from Christmas and New Year's and all that, Christmas and New Year's are on Friday this year, So you can go ahead and plan for that extended weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and then back on the 4th of January or the corresponding Monday after Christmas as well. But no real long, brutal stretches. There is a six-game road swing for the Storm from the end of January to the beginning of February. A lot of people kind of like that. They'll follow that six-game road trip up with a five-game homestand throughout the month of February. But I don't see anything too crazy here on the schedule. Six on the road, five at home. Those are the longest road trips and homestands of the season from late January throughout the month of February. And they'll also end the season at Omaha on Friday, April the 8th, and home against Omaha on Saturday, April the 9th. So start and end with the Lancers. A couple of other sports notes. Anything that did you have anything there, Jimmy?
Well, one thing I wanted to talk about was in the All-Star game, I wanted to talk about the living legends and what you thought of the four people that they decided to bring out. And did you talk about that on the show quite a bit the other day?
Well, we touched on it yesterday, and it's definitely something that we didn't get the listeners involved in, and we'd love to hear from you. Email the Dent Popper inbox, shoot us a tweet at ESPN 1460-1550. And Randy co-hosted yesterday. He's been a lifelong Cincinnati Reds fan. And as I said, I started off when I could first remember when you first started. I mean, Joe Morgan fan. I played second base. Joe Morgan fan. Love the old elbow shoulder tweak that he did. And so I rooted for the Reds and Tony Perez and Johnny Bench and everybody that went, Ken Griffey, all the guys that played at that time before I started rooting for the Royals, you know, in the mid-70s. I was shocked that Johnny Bench was one of the four. When you got down to it, you had the four players from each team of all time. But then they had the four living legends. And right. I asked Randy, I said, if the All-Star game wasn't in Cincinnati, would Johnny Bench have been there? And I rolled through four or five, and Barry Bonds probably not going to get voted in. Nolan Ryan was probably the guy I would have thought. And even with Johnny Bench being the greatest catcher of all time, if you want to give him that accolade, if you believe that's true, I guess that's what shocked me and surprised me. Randy even thought maybe Sandy Koufax's career hadn't been long enough. And I said, you know, sometimes it is not what you do over 20 years. I mean, Cal Ripken Jr. didn't do anything a whole special. He just played a lot of games in a row. Sandy Koufax did have four no-hitters in a perfect game. It doesn't matter if he did that in 25 years or five. So I guess that's what I thought. You?
Well, I guess what I looked at it was I thought there were two that were automatic, and that was Willie Mays and Hank Aaron. I mean, those two were automatic. No one's going to question that at all. I mean, so now, you know, you got a question, like you said, three and four, and I'm not saying anybody's going to dispute that they shouldn't have ever been out there. What Johnny Bench did as a catcher playing that position. You know, I had a guy from Nebraska on the Bob Gibson. You know, if you're talking about what Sandy Koufax did, you know what, Bob Gibson was a pretty good athlete himself, you know, and what he did. But I had Cal Ripken Jr. down as, I think he would have been in it if they the thing would have been in Baltimore or if it would have happened right after his long streak. I think we forgot, you know, how much we fell in love with that streak and how important that streak was to everybody, you know, at that time. And so sometimes it's when you vote and how, you know, at the time that it comes into play. But, yeah, the four that got in there, I mean, I have no problem with the four that got in there. I mean, I really don't. You know, with Johnny Bench, you're not even for sure if he's the best Red that ever played. You know,
well, he's not.
Yeah, and
he's not.
And you look at one thing, Doug, that surprised me was all four were in the National League. All four National League players. That surprised me that they would make that. And I think probably it wasn't intentional because I don't think anybody else has brought it up. You know, that they were all four from the National League. Did you realize that at the time?
Or? No. And Jimmy, you look at it and you go, We're leaving the best players out for a variety of different reasons. Pete Rose better than Johnny Bench. He just is. He just was. He is. And if you want to try and argue that, I'm probably not going to have a whole lot of time listening to you. And Pete Rose was better.
And you're talking about Barry Bonds, too.
Mm-hmm. Again, my argument for Barry Bonds was he was a Hall of Famer before his head got big. All right. While he played for the Pirates, he was a Hall of Famer before he went to the Giants. But you want to look at the home run record? Is it or is it not legit? Again, 50 years down the road, when people don't care about it anymore, they'll say, well, yeah, so what? I mean, everybody was playing on the same field doing the same thing at the same time, and don't be naive, they were, okay? Not 100%, but 70, 75%, you know, were always trying to find an advantage. And we can go back, I mean, let's face it, do we care about the cheating and the violence and the alcohol and the gambling and all the things they did off the field from the players that played in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s? Do we care about that today? No, we don't. So, again, they have those type of things so that we can have these types of discussions. And that's, I suppose, good for Major League Baseball.
And what I thought was interesting, too, is the fact that, you know, everybody kind of wanted, maybe Koufax not, and maybe Bench not, but, hey, when you saw the four guys, could you imagine what Sandy Koufax could still do at his age? He fired that thing right in there. You know, he looked good. Sandy Koufax looked like he could almost play again.
We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. We head to the St. Paul Pioneer Press to talk Minnesota football, 14 teams in 14 days when we return.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Hey!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin, only $6.75 a pound. 3 pounds of thick sliced hickory smoked bacon, only $9.85 each. And Swift Premium Pork Shoulder Roast, just $1.19 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty invites you to enjoy all the cruise night activities in Kearney this week. But please, keep it fun for everyone. Be safe. Be smart.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience. And they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Make your summer concert plans now and buy your tickets today to the Adams County Fair in Hastings. This summer's Adams County Fair Fest concert series will take place July 15th through the 18th. Check out this unbelievable lineup. Legendary Lone Star, Colts Wendell, Harmony, and Granger Smith. Now that's a lot of talent for one fair. Call today and get your Adams County Fair Fest tickets at 402-462-3247. That's 402-462-3247.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Thursday. We'll talk a little Minnesota football here momentarily, but a reminder that at Midway. We will be there later today to celebrate Cruise Night, Classic Hits 98.9. Be out there from around 4:30 to 7:30 for the show and shine. Hundreds of cars, weather permitting. It's beautiful, hot, and muggy now, but there is a chance of rain in the forecast, and hopefully that'll not interfere with the festivities today. We invite you to come on out, check out the show and shine, have a chance to be a winner, and a whole lot more from 4:30 to 7:30 going on today at the Midway Auto Group, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
It's that time. 14 teams in 14 days, where we'll preview a different team each day, leading you up to the Big Ten Media Days, July 30th and 31st in Chicago. We're headed to the West Division for today's team, the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Andy Greeter of the St. Paul Pioneer Press joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk about Minnesota. And Andy, Doug Duda, Jim Langan here with you. Good morning. How are things in the North Country?
Beautiful.
We want to know if the Twins are going to be able to hang in there with our Kansas City Royals. Is this going to be a battle to the stretch?
You know what? I think Kansas City's a better team without Alex Gordon. It could tighten a little bit, but the Twins have kind of been a surprise. So I think the onus is maybe more on Minnesota to prove that they belong, because Kansas City sure shows that they can beat through the stretch.
What makes those guys click? I mean, is there a piece of the puzzle that they need to go get here when we start talking trade deadline?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they have some issues with the back of their bullpen. More setup guys, obviously Glenn Perkins, all-star closer, who's perfect to save opportunities this year, is solidified back there. But the setup guys is kind of an issue for them. They brought up Miguel Sano, probably his rookie, who kind of fills that DH spot, which was another issue, someone in the middle of the lineup with some pop. So it looks like they've got that figured out, but the bullpen help might be something that they do before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think offensively you're fine. I think your starting pitchers, if they got to get through six innings, you know, you got a chance right there. You know, the kid from Nebraska, Dunsing, is going to be a key aspect to how successful you might be. Do you agree with that?
No, absolutely. I think that when they reshuffled their bullpen here a week or so ago, Dunsing got a more prominent left-handed reliever role, probably more eighth inning spot. So yeah, he's going to have to continue to show that he can be in those pressure situations. You know, he's a tenured guy in the Twins bullpen. He's been around since 2009. So he certainly has been in big games for this team in the past, and he'll be counted on to do so here as the stretch comes.
We're talking with Andy Greeter, St. Paul Pioneer Press, on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Let's talk a little Gophers football. I think Jerry Kill probably should have been, despite what Urban Meyer winning the national championship, I think Jerry Kill should have like three or four straight Coach of the Year awards up there. I mean, he's starting to become Minnesota's Tom Osborne, Bob Devaney. Is that the way he's viewed up there right now?
Yeah, I think people are very, very pleased with his body of work thus far. You know, when he came in about 5 years ago, he really tempered expectations and talked about how big of a rebuilding process this was going to be. He's met and exceeded those expectations in his first 5 years. I mean, they played in their first New Year's Day Bowl since 1962, and Kill said that was kind of ahead of the expectations that he had for this program. With that said, after 2 8-win seasons, the expectation level has increased, and that's the new bar, it seems, that 8 wins is kind of what's expected around here now.
Yeah, hey, what Doug said, I agree. You know, I look at the coaches in the conference, and you look at Michigan State and Ohio State, and they've had the success. What's amazing to me is Nebraska and Wisconsin have competed, but they haven't been able to be at that level that the fans want them to do, and neither one of the coaches are coming back. Jerry Kill at Minnesota has beaten Nebraska twice in a row, especially the road win last year. Talk a little bit about that.
Right. Yeah, I think that was looked at as kind of a breakthrough for this program. Going into Lincoln and winning there, really showed that this program can take the next step. I think later on when they lost on the road to Illinois, it was the opposite, where it was like, okay, this is the Minnesota team that has been around for the last four decades, where, you know, they'll tease for a little bit and then kind of lay an egg. So, you know, to kind of answer your question, I mean, there is it's looked at in the Big Ten West with Wisconsin and Minnesota and Nebraska at the top, and it'll be interesting to see what the new coaches there in those two spots, how that shakes out.
Andy Greeter joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking a little Minnesota Gopher football. So let's get the, as always, way too early prognostications here. I mean, your boys have been able to run the ball. And, of course, Nebraska fans know about how the tight end has killed us here. So some changes there for you. But, Jimmy, sure. You got Leitner back at quarterback, it looks like. What will the offense look like this year?
That's by far and away the biggest question for this team. You know, they lose David Cobb, who set a school record for rushing yards in the season with 1,600. He's gone. And Max Williams, their prolific pass-catching tight end, he is gone as well. So those are two big holes that they have to fill. They feel like they have a number of guys at the running back position, including Roderick Williams, who is a big bruising, almost fullback type. Who will probably get the first nod once the season starts. Tight end is going to be kind of a toss-up. I don't know if they really have a guy that can kind of fill the shoes of Max Williams, and they've got a young, mostly inexperienced receiver core. So playmakers, once they get balls in their hands, it'll be interesting to see if they can play to the level that Cobb and Williams did last year.
You know, I look at the schedules of the teams, and Nebraska starts out with BYU, which I think is a good football team. Stanford and Northwestern play, but Minnesota's playing TCU. How critical, you know, last year the score was 30-7, I think. And when I looked at the score, I thought, well, TCU was 4-8. And I kind of watched them. In fact, on our show, I said that this later on, about 3 weeks later, the best bet in 3 years was TCU over SMU. But when I looked at that game, and I go back and look at it, Minnesota played pretty good defense in that football game to hold TCU to 30 points. They just didn't get any breaks offensively. Is this a game they're looking at to turn to the nation and say, hey, this is Minnesota, and watch this score?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things in last year's game against TCU is the Gophers had 5 turnovers. And if you have 5 turnovers in a college football game, you know, the score is going to be as lopsided as it is there. With that score, this is a huge game for the Gophers. I mean, TCU is coming in as a top 5 team. They've got a Heisman Trophy early favorite in Trayvon Boykins. So there'll be a stiff test. I saw or heard about a spread that said 18 points for TCU at Minnesota. It's going to be a very difficult game for the Gophers, especially given the inexperience that they have on offense. But they feel like they've got one of their best defensive units that they've had in a long time here that could probably keep them in the game.
Andy Greeter, St. Paul Pioneer Press, talking Minnesota football with us here. So how about that defense, Andy? It has to be the stronger of the 3 offense, defense, special teams right now. It gives up points. Minnesota's never been known for strong defense. Talk about defensive coordinator and what we could see there.
Yeah, I mean, they're really going to rely on their senior-laden defensive backs with Eric Murray and Brian Body Calhoun. Eric Murray on the one corner spot is kind of like Revis Island. You know, no one wants to throw it over there. And they've thrown it over to Brian Body Calhoun's side, and they've paid for it because he was a ball hawk last year with multiple interceptions. So that's really the strength of their defense is in the secondary. But they feel like they've got depth at linebacker and depth on the defensive line to be able to stop the running game as well. Tracy Clay is their defensive coordinator, has really turned that into a stalwart unit and really a calling card for Minnesota football is strong defense.
Andy, we've had the opportunity game week to talk to Coach Clay's and to talk to Coach Limegrover over the years since we've joined the Big Ten Conference. Yeah. Has there been... If you can keep your coaches together, that's a key. Has there been any other turnover down the line there?
That's one of the most remarkable things about the Gopher football team is that they have zero turnover routinely when it comes to coaches. They're very cohesive unit, and you can see the benefits of that in kind of the discipline in which they play most of the time. I think that they've. They got raises here, the coordinators did, a year or so ago. and they're happy with where they're at. I don't see any changes coming there.
Let's talk a little bit more about the schedule. It's a unique schedule. Like Nebraska fans, they just get used to conference home, away, home, away. Well, two very important games have to be games that Minnesota wins if they want to do what they are hoping to at Northwestern, at Purdue. And then they come home for Nebraska and Michigan. Then it's at Ohio State and Iowa. Then home against Illinois, Wisconsin. It's not an easy schedule. They have to get off to a good start before the Huskers roll in.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think that, I think that they'd be pretty satisfied if they go into the Nebraska game at 5-1 with a TCU loss. For this Gopher team to take the next step, they have to take care of business against the Purdues and the Northwesterns and the Illinois in order to get to 8 wins, which is what I think is the new benchmark around here. They have to roll through the majority of their non-conference schedule and take care of the teams that aren't expected to do very much in the Big Ten.
You know, a couple years ago, Jerry had his health problems, and the assistant coaches, the loyalty of them and stepping in and doing things and et cetera. Right now, it seems to be kind of on the back burner a little bit because there was nothing that happened lately that way. Tell us a little bit, because our people in Nebraska, I think, are a little concerned about, that and maybe how close he was to maybe they said, hey, we're going to have to go a different direction. This isn't working out.
No, he is very healthy now. He hasn't had a seizure in, I believe, a year and a half. I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago, and he said that, he's got his medication in check, and he's eating better and exercising more, and health is not as much as a front burner issue as it was when he was having health problems during games. So I think that for everyone involved and competition included, I think they're happy to see that he's healthy and can bring the best every Saturday.
Last minute here with Andy Greeter of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Is there, and again, this is just for the general fan out there, there's always some off-the-field news, good, bad, indifferent. Is there anything else that we need to know about the Gophers that will affect their football team this fall?
Well, they're continuing to work on a new practice facility for their football team and their basketball team. That's something that, lags in the Big Ten, and they really need to pick it up in the arms race when it comes to facilities. And it looks like they're going to be breaking ground here in August or September. And while they've been lagging there in years past, they feel like this facility will help, put them on pace. I mean, I know that Nebraska has amazing facilities, but they really need to step up their game there to be able to take the next step here in the Big Ten.
And since we're talking Minnesota, we'll get out of here with this, another Nebraska question. Now that Elliott Alayson has graduated from Minnesota, what has become of him?
That's a great question. I don't know if there has been much talk about what's happening with him now. I know that Mo Walker, the Gophers' other center, has been playing in the summer league. I haven't been able to see what he's doing these days. I wish I could better help you guys. I've covered a lot of sports up here, but the Gopher basketball team is not one of them. I don't know if he's playing overseas or what he's doing.
No, no problem. No problem at all. But, hey, great chat. We look forward to Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. And, Andy, thanks so much for filling us in. Again, Minnesota's a team that we can root for the other 11 weeks of the year.
That's right. One question I have for you guys, if you don't have to go here. I was asking or was asked by another Nebraska radio station about a rivalry budding between Nebraska and Minnesota. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, you know how it is, Andy. It's not a rivalry if both teams don't win once in a while. Nebraska got to win once in a while, don't they? You know what? It's Nebraska-Wisconsin, and I will tell you personally, and Jimmy, if you got to pick somebody, I still don't see it as Nebraska-Iowa, although I think you always say, there's hatred towards that team. I suppose you dislike Iowa the most of anybody. But Minnesota, people have had fun up there, and Minnesota folks have had fun in Lincoln. Jimmy, I think this could be the best rivalry, but Nebraska still thinks that they need to win it every single year, don't they?
Yeah, I think the home game this year, I don't think it did a whole lot for Bo Pelini. I thought it was really a lot easier for the activities director to make the decision that Bo is gone now. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, the Wisconsin, the way the defense played against Wisconsin, we had seen that so many times in big games where we just couldn't stop anybody at all. I mean, it was just like, and you saw a little bit of the game, I'm sure. You know, when anybody wrestles for 400 yards, you're not tackling real well. But I think the Minnesota, I think the people in Nebraska have a tendency to cheer for Minnesota. They want somebody like a Purdue or a Minnesota or an Illinois, an Indiana to have success and knock off Ohio State, knock off Michigan. They want to cheer for that. And I also think, I mean, I brought it up earlier, because Jerry Kill is such a nice man on the sideline, and with his health dilemmas, I think he was a natural for us to cheer for.
Sure. Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate the time.
Andy Greeter, St. Paul Pioneer Press. Have a great rest of the summer, Andy. We'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio. People go to Minneapolis. People like to go up there to the Mall of America or to see a game or to – there's Viking fans around here. I guess it's strange. We don't talk about it much, but I suppose there's a little something there, Jimmy. I mean, but again, the bottom line here is Nebraska – I've said this before. Just because it says Minnesota on their jersey doesn't mean they're bad. Okay, we're past that, but that's still how Nebraska people view Minnesota, 84-13. That's how they view Minnesota.
Well, I think another thing is when you have a tendency to have a rival or you have somebody that you dislike, it's because they prevented you from doing something. I mean, Texas prevented us from going to places that we wanted to go. You know, we go, hey, we're one game away, and all of a sudden Texas beat you. And Texas did that too many times. Oklahoma did that to Nebraska. They prevented us from playing in the Orange Bowl for the national championship. Texas did that a couple times. Colorado started to do that a little bit, Doug.
Yeah.
You know, when Colorado started to do that, they prevented us from going somewhere. Kansas State, even though they were our rival, and that we came down to one game. Nebraska won that thing most of the time. In fact, I'm trying to look back. There's just a few times where maybe Kansas State won the game, but they didn't prevent us as much as the other schools. And I think when you talk about your rivals with somebody, you're going, uh-oh, now we got to watch them on TV for the national championship. That could have been us. We were one play away. And, you know, when Penn State had the play in the end zone, you know, Alabama, the Nebraska-Alabama rivalries in the late 60s and early 70s. It's fun to beat Miami. It was fun to beat Florida State because they were the team that were preventing us from winning the national championship. So Minnesota just hasn't done that. Your thoughts?
I think we're in a different day and age for some of the words I'm going to be using here and some of the comparisons. I think somebody like Caleb is not going to be able to relate the guys and the gals in their 20s and maybe even early 30s. I mean, rivalries were born a lot, and let's face it, folks that are our age and older, when we had so many more high schools and little towns, let's face, and I don't want to point anybody out here, so, you know, you're 7 miles down the road, and you battled every year in every sport, and there was a, you know, there wasn't, hey, texting back and forth, there wasn't getting together at camps and all-star games and being friends with the other team. They were talking on one of the ESPNs, I can't remember who the interview was with, about the all-star game that you were not supposed to fraternize with the other guys during the regular season, and so the all-star game was a whole lot different deal. You weren't supposed to be buddies if you were the Yankees and the Red Sox. Well, you see it all the time now. You go, you play different places. You had a team that would maybe make a dirty play. You had a coach that would run his mouth. You had a fan base that would throw ice balls at you that had, you know, things in them that we don't want to talk about here, Colorado. I mean, that's how rivalry started. It wasn't necessarily, I mean, let's face it, a kid from Georgia or a kid, Mike Rozier comes in and plays for Nebraska. It's not a rivalry until somebody made it a rivalry. It was Oklahoma, and there was a reason. You had the Boz. You could go back, pick whatever you want. You had Jarvis Redwine running down the sideline, waving his finger as he's going in for the touchdown. That's what rivalry became to me, more of a heated rivalry. There are hard, you know why there's friendly rivalries? One team always wins. That's why they're friendly. That's the way I view rivalries, because the Penn State thing, I don't remember there being a lot of hatred towards Penn State. There was a lot of hatred towards the officials, the bad call, you got hosed. You know, yes, you did not like Miami because they were cocky. You were Nebraska. That wasn't the way you played it. couple times there when Nebraska, you know, the Peter brothers, when you're good, you flaunted a little bit. There were people that didn't like Nebraska's football team during that era because you, like you said, you won. That's the way I see rivalries.
And very, very interesting topic. Yeah, it is. I guess, you know, when I look at teams and rivalries, I was at Ravan and we played Loup City. And when we played them, I mean, there was a time where we won 20 straight games in a row. You know, 20 straight. Well, you know, Centura and us played, and they were like six consecutive one-point games. Well, guess what? You can't. It's a rivalry now. I mean, if it wasn't before, it is now, you know. And then you did things a little different when you, you know, in practice. I mean, if you said, okay, we got a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday practice, we spent all 4 days on Centura, the players kind of knew that, hey, this is, you know, this is our rival. You didn't have to say anything about it. But I agree with you. I think the fan base has a tendency to be more upset with a certain player. One player does something and gets everybody excited, or one coach says something and gets everybody excited. But, you know, when people would say, oh, I hate Barry Switzer, well, how could you hate Barry Switzer? How do you hate Bobby Bowden? You know, the only reason you could hate him is because they prevent, I guess that was my point, they prevented you from winning the national championship. If you're 6-6 and they're 6-6, it really, you know, it's hard to be really that hard of a rival. Yeah.
Well, it's again, it's at a different level. I mean, if you're a pair of perennial 2-7 football teams, well, then you know one of the chances you have of getting that win is against the other 2-7 team.
Great point.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, back at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We'll get to the emails and a little snippet on the ESPYs after this.
Raxum Clay is August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
I call Kearney Crete & Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Locally owned Hastings Physical Therapy, chosen since 2002 for excellence in one-on-one care. Even in this rapidly changing healthcare environment, we at Hastings Physical Therapy want you to know the choice is still yours when selecting your physical therapist. We offer convenient hours and parking. Privately owned and next to Applebee's, call Hastings Physical Therapy at 402-462-2665 to schedule your appointment today.
Oh, those summer memories. Vacations, the beach, the ball games. If the time spent in your car is ruining those memories because the air conditioner isn't getting the job done, then call your friends at Graham Tire Company. Their certified technicians will diagnose the problem and let you know what is needed to bring cool comfort back to your drive. They will even pick up and deliver your car. Just another reason to trust Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
Crazy cheeseburgers and cheap cigarettes. One day they'll get me if they ain't got me yet. Cause I've been living and fast forward.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along on today's program of the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Auto Outlet, open for business, providing everything from a lower-end daily driver with crate gas mileage to late-model, low-mileage vehicles. Stop into the Midway Auto Outlet, the former Killian Motor Building on Central Avenue, to see their full selection of over 250 used cars and trucks, and that's where we will be for the show and shine tonight, 4:30 to 7:30. Check it out with great music. Great fun, prizes on Classic Hits 98.9, our sister station. So while you're out and about, you get to see the classic cars. You get to see what Midway has at any of their outlets, or you can go online to thinkmidway.com. Think Midway. It's a better way. Be safe. Have fun this weekend. Well, there is another hour of Colin Cowherd coming up here on the program, and breaking news here over the last hour, and I didn't get to hear the whole first 2 hours, but you may be hearing it after this show. Colin Cowherd will be leaving ESPN. No destination finalized. This comes from The Big Lead. Says that a deal with Fox Sports may be preeminent or maybe coming up here. The timing's going to leave our ESPN radio station with some new voices in the middle, because Scott Van Pelt just left last month to concentrate on television, and he's over at the British Open now. So Bill Simmons gone. Keith Olbermann gone. I think Fox is trying to, they even have a story, is the end coming for ESPN? Yeah, okay. The Yankees aren't dead. ESPN shall never die. They may be weaker or stronger. They're just like every other organization. They come and they go, but this is still number one, folks, in ESPN Radio. We are proud to be a part of with the Doug and Daddy Show and our coverage. But it took a while to get used to Cowherd, and now it's going to be sad to see him go. And I liked Van Pelt as well. And every once in a while, Greenberg thinks he's better than he is in the morning. But it's a great show. And I love listening to all of them. Everybody has their favorites. Not everybody likes show number A. And not everybody hates show number B. So, or letter B. So we'll see how it plays out. And you'll hear a lot about it here over the next few days. Colin Cowherd leaving ESPN. Jimmy?
Well, you know, the Saturday Night Live, when they started, they had some of the crew people leave. I thought, oh, man, that show will never be the same. But it seems they always kind of brought somebody in that wasn't too bad. You know what I mean? So I think your producers at ESPN are going to find some people that can do a great job. You know, when you talk about announcers in football, Keith Jackson, you know, I remember Keith Jackson. You know, they're not going to be able to, you know, ever. There's not going to be anybody who can replace Keith Jackson. Well, you know, you don't replace Keith Jackson's. You just get new personalities, and they have their own mold, and they do the play by play the way they do, and you know, there's good and bad about everything. But yeah, this guy, he was interesting to listen to. He definitely had an opinion, and he definitely told you how he felt.
And according to this story, and he's been at a variety of spots around the country, but he's got a West Coast, and that's why Fox, I think. I mean, they just, the way that they do things is more that way. Here's what the story says. Some of the reasons of that now would be the time. The new president of Fox Sports is Jamie Horowitz, who produced Sports Nation with Cowherd and Michelle Beadle that they did on television, as well as his Sunday morning football show he did a couple of years ago. Cowherd might also, I mean, let's face it. You got Sports Center on ESPN. I can't watch that thing that they put on Fox Sports at night. I just can't. From the top to the bottom, I just can't watch it. So maybe Cowherd moves into a more of a television role. So we'll see how it all plays out. Colin Cowherd is going to leave ESPN Radio. And speaking of ESPN, the ESPYs, a couple of funny tweets and social media, Facebook things last night. Hey, I tuned into ESPN to watch the ESPYs, and that's not who was carrying it. Wouldn't you think? That? And then we joked about that a while back. It was on ABC and their ratings grab. And, you know, they had a host that maybe be half the people knew, had some funny liners in his monologue to get things started. But again, the whole 3 hour ceremony is only going to be remembered for a couple of instances. There were some great moments, and I think ESPN made and ABC made sure that they covered some of the great moments. Leah Still, the young daughter of the Cincinnati Bengals player, Lauryn Hill, who passed away from brain cancer, and a variety of those things with the Jimmy V Awards and things. But it was all about the Arthur Ashe and the Caitlin, former Bruce Jenner Award. The segment was 28 minutes long, and I rewatched most of it this morning. They had about a 15-minute, 12-minute segment pre-recorded, and which was done very well. And then they had Caitlin spoke for about 8 to 10 minutes, which, again, part of it was, you know, making fun of herself and, you know, learning how to dress and get attention for your looks more than, I mean, another social issue. So social issues were brought up with this. ESPN and ABC, maybe they got their ratings. Jimmy, we talked about it a little bit on the show. It's just one of those things that is tough to talk about here because people think you're taking sides one way or another. The segment was too long. There was nobody deserved 28 minutes on that last night. Jimmy V wasn't up there 28 minutes when he gave his famous speech. But you do what you want. It's your show. I'm not sure that the ESPYs are even. They're not near what they were when they started them. It's now just like, well, some of our athletes will show up. Some of them won't. We'll have some fun with them. It's a chance for entertainment and sports to mix for one of the few times all year long. But the ESPYs was what it was. It's July. There's not much going on. They can slot it in the right time slot during the All-Star break, and I guess people will watch it and have a little fun with it. So that's part of our network, and I didn't sit down and watch it last night. I just caught a couple of the highlights this morning.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either last night. And, Doug, I think I'll let you just talk for both of us. I think that's good.
Okay, let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here. This comes from Doug. We were talking about the Franchise Four and the players that should have been on the field and were on the field. Doug and Carney says Pete Rose had 4,256 hits, played in 3,562 games, 14,053 at-bats. Most major league players have the proverbial cup of coffee in the major leagues, which means they get the opportunity to play in maybe less than 100 games in their career. Yes, Pete made many mistakes in his life, both on and off the baseball diamond, but he needs to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. My first Major League Baseball game was in old Crosley Field in Cincinnati in the late 60s before they moved to Riverfront Stadium, and Pete was playing right field that day. His enthusiasm for the game was so evident from a 9-year-old boy's perspective that day. It was a meaningless game at the end of the season that had zero playoff perspective, but I will remember that day forever. Doug, great email. Thank you. I'm on board. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
Doug, very well written, tremendously written. The stats were there. Everything was perfectly well written. I disagree. Should not be in the Hall of Fame.
We've had that, you know, when Jimmy's been doing the show long enough and all the hosts, Schick and I never had a problem. We weren't, close isn't the word, but we were colleagues and we didn't have to. What makes talk radio go sometimes is very much differing of opinions. Tony and I could hit that a few times. We could have rants. But with rotating the co-host the way we do, I don't want to, upset anybody and then they don't want to come back anymore. But we have had, you've been here long enough that we've had very few disagreements.
That's correct.
This is one I just don't get the other side.
Yeah, you can't. You can't understand the one thing. Okay. You have rules. You have regulations. There's got to be a reason for them. Okay? I'll give you one. Ready? I'm just going to give you one.
Okay.
Your baseball coach says, hey, guys, we got a game tomorrow. I don't want anybody swimming in the pool. Don't swim in the pool. Okay? All right? Players swim in the pool. Okay. Should they be suspended for life? No. This should be one game. He made a rule. You're out for a game, maybe two games. He didn't want you swimming. But there's got to be some consequences and some rules for that. All right? What if they're drinking beer in the pool and they're 17? They're off the team for the year. I'm not going to take them next year either. Couldn't count on them. You're gone. Your baseball career is over. You drank, you're gone. Okay. Pete Rose, what he did was he gambled on baseball. It's all over. That's one of the biggest things they have is their scandal. They said, do not gamble on baseball. We do not want you gambling on baseball. So there's got to be a rule in place. If you do, what if they put him in the Hall of Fame? Then I guess all the other rules don't matter either. That's my point. My point. So if hopefully you can understand I understand your opinion. He's one of the big, he got the most hits. But okay, if he gets 3,000 hits, then he could be in the Hall of Fame too, or you got to have 4,000. If you want to bet on baseball, if you have 4,000 hits, you can bet on baseball. But 3,000, if you're in a bet on baseball, isn't enough. To me, it has to do with he was a player and a manager, and he bet on the game, and he's dealing with people that are not appropriate for the game. They have many times people get in trouble, and then unfortunately, you're ended up the only way you can pay off your debt is to do what?
Cheat.
Fix a game.
The counterpoint I have to that, because that is the continual argument I hear from people that believe like you do that Pete should not be in the Hall of Fame. So you take away O.J. Simpson's Heisman Trophy for something he did later in life. There's so many circumstances here. A young man that's in the Nebraska Hall of Fame. Say you're in the Nebraska Hall of Fame and tomorrow they did something to break the law. So all of a sudden you yank him out of the Hall of Fame. Pete, the problem here with Pete Rose is he stayed with his profession after he finished one part of his career. He stayed in the same venue, baseball. Okay, so if Pete Rose would have went on, and I know this is definitely hypothetical, but had he coached football and got caught gambling, he'd be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. That I guess that's my, I think it's two totally separate different things. Now, if they can prove, which they can't today, if they can prove that Pete Rose bet on baseball while he was playing, that would change my opinion. They cannot, to this day, 30 years later, prove that Pete Rose bet on a game that he played in. So that's where I come down on the whole Pete Rose situation. It was two totally different lives. They both were in baseball. One was a player. One was fortunate enough to be a manager.
And we could talk about Pete Rose, the person, a little bit. I guess you must like him a little bit better than I do, because I see these professional athletes, and they give up their time, and they do things, and they give autographs, they sign things, and it's kind of amazing. Pete Rose, he'll sign your autograph. You go down to Vegas, you go down Mandalay Bay, and you sit right in there, and you can go, he'll sit down right with you and visit with you. But it costs you $100.
It's a different deal, isn't it?
It costs you $100. Sit down. Yep, $50. Here's this, $50. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. You didn't make enough money playing baseball, and you need $50 more.
What did Coach Bauer tell us Tyson was charging? It was at least that much or more. There are athletes that are down on their luck. So,
yeah, it's an interesting topic. It's fun for us to talk about this. It really is, because I know there's people that are definitely on the other side of this. But to me, it has nothing to do with how many hits he got. Whether he got 5,000 hits or 4,100 or 3,000, is he lied about it. He didn't tell people the truth. And he bet on baseball. And then we found out later, now he did it as a player.
Talking about it. And okay. Yes, we've talked about it on the show a couple of weeks ago. TJ O'Neill, outside the lines, digging. I could not do a job like that. If that's your job, is to run people over, even if you do it well. But again, they think that they have something. That's what they have. They think they have something. There's
right.
No proof.
You know, and the thing of it is, he had a great career. Pete Rose had a great career. He got those hits. Those were clean hits. Those were singles. He might have had one or two that maybe the score maybe messed up on. You know, but let's be honest about it. He had a great baseball player. Great thing. Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? That's just where you and I disagree.
Yep. Huh? Nothing wrong with that disagreement, is there?
No, I wish Zach Johnson could finish this with a birdie. That would be a lot happier.
Well, let's take a look as we wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show on this Thursday at the leaderboard at the Open Championship. Again, it's a little tougher in the afternoon with the wind, and they're not scoring as well on the back nine. The early guys are the later guys, and that's why Zach's still at 6-under, but he has the best round on the course going. Dustin Johnson, 7-under 65. Robert Streb, Retief Goosen, Paul Laurie, Jason Day, Zach Johnson, all at 6-under par. Charles Schwartzel, Jordan Spieth, Louis Oosthuizen all shot 5-under par in their round today. Tiger Woods 4-over. And hey, how about the guy that Tommy Fleetwood? That's who Alex Myers told us about. He's 4-under through 16, and he is in a 9-way tie for 14th right now. Tomorrow we will look at Penn State football with Joe Giuliano. We thank Andy Greeter of the St. Paul Pioneer Press for chatting Minnesota football. Don't sweat too much umpiring baseball this weekend, Jimmy. Have fun.
All right. See you later.
We'll see you guys tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.